I love our Shine family. We're so fun. We're so fun. Isn't this the way church is supposed to be? And family is supposed to be? Just love each other and be real. Oh, God's so good. God's so good. Amen? Amen. Let me start over. My name's Joshua. I hope to get the privilege to meet all of you. If I haven't had that privilege yet, I hope to soon. I get the privilege of being on the teaching team with, I think there's eight of us now, eight or nine on the teaching team, which is a really, really special privilege. So honored to get to teach God's word. I love preaching God's word. It is a great, great responsibility, but a great privilege. And oh my gosh, I love God's word. Do you guys love God's word?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I've got to tell you, I met a gentleman recently, and like he put my love of God's word to shame in a whole different way, because he has recently retired and he's invested like his whole life in collecting antique Bibles. And like he has the Bible that came over on the Mayflower, and he has like the original King James Bible that was printed on, I mean, these things are huge. If you've seen the original ones, like in the Bible Museum, have you guys been to the Bible Museum? I need to get there. I haven't been there either. And him and his friends helped curate the Bible Museum. Like, there's some people who like really love the Bible and put me to shame. But like, when you study the Bible and you're like, we still have this book? Like, through all that it's been through and like all that it took? Oh my gosh, I just get like jittery and in awe of God and his word and the Holy Spirit's preservation of his word. And it draws me into his presence a little deeper. It's so sweet. I'm a local chaplain. I'm not on staff here at the church. And just a shameless plug for chaplaincy. I think a lot of people have heard me say that I'm a local chaplain, but I'm a corporate chaplain. And what that means is a lot of companies. Have you guys heard of chaplaincy before in the military? The military, most hospitals have chaplains, most prisons have chaplains, most professional sports teams have chaplains. It's like a pastor on campus. It's like a spiritual counselor, a care coach, life coach, like right there with you in person in some of the hard places. Well, I get to be a corporate chaplain, and I didn't even hear about this. I didn't even know this job existed until 2 years ago. And a lot of companies, corporate America, is starting to hire chaplains because they realized people aren't taking advantage of the various mental health options through HR and through their benefits, because people aren't reaching out to their counselors and people aren't reaching out to the therapists, and they're not, and it's kind of like a lot of red tape sometimes to take advantage of your counselors and your therapists and stuff. And a lot of businesses wanted also spiritual care, which a lot of counselors and therapists didn't do. And so, like, corporate America is hiring chaplains to come in. And so, like, we serve Coca-Cola and Chick-fil-A and Aflac. And, like, we serve, like, 200,000-300,000 employees on a weekly basis. We go and touch base with every single employee and say, how are you doing today? How's your family? I know you're going through something with your dog last weekend. Are you doing okay? Are you hanging in there? And we check on people's mental health, emotional health on a weekly basis. I touch base with about 700 people per week and personal touch and say, hey, how can I pray for you and how can I be there for you and your family? And so if your companies that you work for could use that benefit, because chaplaincy is kind of one of the only religious institutions that's still like globally accepted in the corporate world and in the political world. Like, we all have chaplains, even the Capitol building, they have chaplains and stuff like that. It's kind of still accepted religious. It's kind of an inroad to get people in your business, in your company, which you should be the primary chaplain for your company because you're praying there. You're the missionary God sent to your company. But if you could use a little extra help, there's a company called Corporate Chaplains of America that I work for, and it's a really cool thing that companies are just bringing in chaplains to care for every single person. So that's just a little shameless plug for corporate chaplains. If you have any questions about that or you want to talk to your HR or have me talk to your HR, like, we should bring a chaplain to our company, let me know. We have had, I think we've had 55,000 people. It's right under 55,000 people come to Christ through Corporate Chaplains of America in the last 20 years. We've had a little over 300,000 people come back to Christ. We don't call it a first-time salvation, but a coming back to their relationship with God, re-engaging church, re-engaging life. About around 300,000 in the last 20-some years through corporate chaplains. And so we track those numbers because we want to give glory to the Lord for what he's doing. It's a really cool opportunity. Talk to me about it if you want a chaplain in your company. Let's dive into God's word. Romans 14 is where we're going to be this morning. Romans 14. We've been discussing what is the kingdom of heaven. We've been preaching on and teaching on the kingdom of heaven. It's like kind of an obscure idea because when we say the word the gospel and we got to preach the gospel, that's good, that's true. We need the gospel. It's the core of the kingdom. But really when Jesus came, he was more about this idea of the kingdom of heaven. Like every one of his sermons, every one of his conversations had to do with the kingdom of heaven. You don't quite understand the kingdom of heaven. You're coming into a deeper realm of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not out here, it's in here. I'm thinking of, what's the passage? Luke 17. Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of God is within you. The first sermon that Jesus preached, the first sermon after his baptism was repent. Fill in the blank. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is nigh, is coming near, is here. It was all about this kingdom. And so the reality is, I think the devil has robbed us of this understanding of the kingdom because we get so mixed up in theology and doctrine, and we miss like just the concept of the culture of heaven and that it's a real, real reality. And the gospel is not like, get me out of hell, please, Jesus, like, get me out of hell, free card. Get me out of jail, free card. We're not playing Monopoly here. There's an actual kingdom. It is the kingdom that Jesus rules and reigns in, and it's a physical, spiritual kingdom. And then there's another kingdom, and it's the kingdom of self. It's the kingdom of pride. It's the kingdom of the earth. It's the kingdom of just physical. It's the kingdom of man's pride and selfishness. And yes, Satan rules in that kingdom, right? God, Jesus points out that reality all the time, like you're of your father, the devil, and you're making people twice the sons of hell that you are. And Jesus was, he had some words to say to people sometimes. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us that permission because Jesus hated evil and darkness and anything that separated people from his love and from the reality of who they really are. And so there's two kingdoms. And when we give our allegiance, when we get saved, when we get born again, that's us surrendering our allegiance to Jesus Christ. That's us exchanging our citizenship from the kingdom of myself on the throne, from my kingdom of the world rules my life, money rules my life, whatever it is that commands and controls and dictates your life, because over here there's a lot of evil dictators. You can name them. Money, fame, we can even get religion. I mean, there's a lot of things that can rule you and leave you destitute, dying, lacking life, lacking joy, lacking everything that the kingdom of heaven is. And you don't realize it until you get further down the road here in this kingdom, because this kingdom promises everything but returns nothing. And this kingdom promises everything and returns it all, but it's a little harder. Jesus says the gate is narrow. There's only one gate into this kingdom. The road is really narrow that you got to walk on, and it's hard, and not very many people choose it. Because it's selfless and it's death to self, and it's saying, Jesus Christ, you are Lord, you are King, you have my allegiance, I'm a citizen of your kingdom, and so I live to serve you instead of now I living to serve my own passions, my own pleasures, my own wills, my own desires. So that's what baptism is, right? When we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, he is rule and reigning, he is King. But we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So that's why I get baptized. This is literally my initiation into Christ, saying like, I want to enter into his death, burial, and resurrection. I want to enter into the person of Christ. Like, this is switching of my allegiance. And I believe that Jesus is the only one who can make that way for me. He's the only one who can give me relationship with God. He's the only one who can cleanse me from my sin only by his blood. Because over here, religion used to say that I could cleanse myself from my sin. I could do enough good to get to heaven. And I still find myself burnt out. I still find myself lifeless. And so we have this kingdom reality, and we've been preaching on it for about 4, 5, 6 weeks. Of what is the kingdom of heaven? What is this? Why is this concept so evasive, hard to understand? And I want to focus just on two verses this morning. The context, really quick, of Romans chapter 14 is Paul writing a letter back to these Christians in Rome. And right here in this part of his letter, the Christians are kind of like arguing about what each other's doing. So a lot of Christians, they were like saved Jews, and Jews had really strict dietary laws, all right? Can't eat pork, can't drink alcohol, whatever it was. Not alcohol, that's not a Jewish, they loved good wine. But there was some other people who couldn't drink alcohol because it was like offered to idols. And so they're arguing about like, you can't eat this and you can't drink this and you can't eat this. And so there's these people who had like a really sensitive conscience to eating meats, right? This is something that we don't really relate with as much in our culture, but their conscience was super sensitive. Like, oh, this meat was offered to an idol and then I picked it up at the market but it's like an unclean meat. And Paul's sitting here like, dude, idols are fake. Everything is like clean. Meats are fine. Wine is fine. But the reality was there were some people who had a soft conscience towards that because the way they were raised, it was hard to eat meat because it was associated with all this dark stuff. And so you had these mature Christians kind of judging the immature Christians, saying like, you can eat everything. Why is your conscience so soft? And then you had the immature Christians saying like, how do you guys have the freedoms to eat this stuff? And you guys are sinning and you guys are doing evil. And the mature Christians are like, we're not doing evil. Like, you're the one whose conscience is crazy. And so they're just arguing. And Paul sits here and he's like, writes this letter, chapter 14. And he says, well, let me just read it. And I'm going to read it in a couple different translations. We're at verse 17, chapter 14, verse 17 and 18. I'm going to read it in the Message version first. He says, God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. I love the Message version. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right and as he puts it together and as he completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that and you'll kill these two birds with one stone. You'll please the God above and proving your worth to the people around you. All right, let's read it in the New Living Translation. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you'll please God and others will approve of you too. The Passion Translation. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules about food and drinks, but is in the realm of the Holy Spirit filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. Serving the Anointed One by walking in these kingdom realities pleases God and earns the respect of others. And last of all, the New King James Version. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. So Paul is trying to take them into a deeper realm. Like, you're arguing about these weird things. And if you are not focused on this realm, righteousness, peace, and joy with God and with others and through the Holy Spirit, you're missing the whole kingdom agenda. Like, it's not about rules. Paul gets so frustrated, I think, writing again and again, like, why do you keep going back to religion? Why do you keep going back to rules? Why do you keep judging each other? Like, it's all about our love for one another. Can we just honor each other? Can we just live in righteousness, peace, and joy? And so I want to pick apart this concept because I believe right now the church needs this revelation, like maybe more than anything, this revelation of the kingdom of heaven. The reason why so many out in the world are not running to the church during these dark times, during these crazy times, during these questionable times. Like, why isn't the world running to the church? Why aren't they running to the church for love? Why aren't they running to the church for answers? Why aren't they running to the church? Well, because I think as a church, we've missed it. Like, we thought it was about telling everybody their sin or showing everybody that we're better than them. And I know we've all missed it in times in our life, and I'm the first. I'm the first who's missed it in a million ways. Judging whatever it is, self-righteousness, we're going to go through some of these things. But what if the world saw Jesus' bride, us, Shine Church, the church in Castle Rock, just glowing and radiating because of our intimacy with the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, and so aligned with God in his righteousness, so at peace with one another, and so filled with joy. Like, most Christians I know, like, they're just not even happy. Like, what person in the world wants to go be a part of something where people aren't happy? Like, we have a moral obligation to happiness. Like, Jesus saved us. Like, we're missing something. The world's not coming. The world's not coming because, well, the Christians, first of all, they did me wrong. And they're not even together. We're going to talk about what righteousness, peace, and joy is. And they're definitely not the happiest people in the bunch. They're typically sad and pouty and, like, blaming everybody or pulling out their guns. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. What is this concept? So I want to wrestle this out with you guys. And we're not gonna, I don't think, pass around mics. We tried to do that last night, but I'm more just looking for popcorn answers. So the microphones won't help us a ton. Tell me what righteousness is. Popcorn answers. What is righteousness? We're just gonna peel apart these realities. Just popcorn answers in your mind or your theology. You can do theological answers. Yeah, righteousness. Okay, living a life that looks like Jesus. Love it. Love it. Right standing with God. Love it. Doing the right thing. Oh, this is beautiful. Any other answers? Those are perfect. Ooh. Okay. Right with others and God. I love it. I love it. I agree. Any other answers? That's it. Right standing with God. I guess my most succinct one of all those. Right standing with God and others. Righteousness. We know as Christians that our right standing with God only comes from what? Jesus. A relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot create right standing with God in and of itself. We know that. We have to have Christ. This is why it says in the Holy Spirit. If you are not submitted to, if you have not confessed your sin and said, Holy Spirit, I need you to keep me right with God and man, we're already on the wrong place. We're already in the wrong place. If we think that we can be right with God and man by ourselves, you've got another thing coming to you, or you haven't lived long enough yet, because you're going to find out it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So we need Holy Spirit desperation. Keep me right with you, God, through the blood of Jesus. And we're going to illustrate this in a second. Right standing with God and man, I agree. All right? What's peace? What is peace? We've got to wrestle this out. What is peace? Complete shalom. Do you want to tell us what shalom is? Okay, zero chaos. Zero chaos. I love that. Love it. Complete shalom. Wholesome completeness. Ooh, yes, yes, yes. What is peace? Absence of conflict. Oh, yes. Lack of anxiety. Great. We're getting it. This is it. That's it. Any other definitions? Peace. Harmony. Harmony. All right, we've got it up here. Togetherness. Oneness. When we get a little confused, I think, on peace sometimes because of how the world has preach the word peace, and the peace gets used in a lot of different ways. And even when we see the word peace translated in the Bible, you know the passage where Jesus is in the boat with his disciples, and they're in the storms, and everything's crazy, right? And he stands up and says, what to the waters and the winds? Peace be still. That word peace is actually wrong translated. It's not the same word. The word he uses there in that storm is be silent. Be silent. Be quiet and be still. That's a different kind. It's not the word peace here. This peace, this word peace means like in war, like we don't want war. We want togetherness. We want oneness. We are like, think pieces of a puzzle. Pieces of a puzzle. When Paul is writing here and he says righteousness, peace, he's like, we have to make peace. It's not something you feel in this concept, right? You don't just feel peace with each other. You've got to make peace. We're not peace feelers, we're peacemakers. And it takes hard work. And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit that we would be at peace with one another, that there would be no wars, there would be no conflict between ourselves, between each other. Peace, okay? Joy. I know this gets ripped up a lot. Tell me what joy is. Happy to be with you. I love that. Good. Happy to be with you. That's good. What else? How else would you define joy? Inner happiness. Deeper happiness. Ooh, that's good. Love it. Any other concepts of joy? Lightness of heart. Love it. Yes. Peace in your circumstances. That's good. Circumstantial peace. Okay. Calm confidence. Love that. Yeah. Joy. No fear. Good. Good. Okay. We're getting there. We're just going to wrestle this out. We're going to sit on this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Bubbling over from the inside. That's good. I agree. I put down, you know, satisfaction, pleasurable, gladness, happiness is in that definition of joy. A lot of people say, well, joy isn't happiness. And they use that as an excuse to not be happy. And it's not true. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And anytime you compare the word joy to like blessed or the word happiness throughout the Greek and the Hebrew, like it is a physical happiness. It is. It's just about where it's rooted. It's just about where it's coming from. Happiness comes from the outside because it's about my happenings. It's my circumstances. But joy is from the inside. Same emotion, different point of starting point, different birthing place, right? Emotion, the same. Because internal joy can carry us through the craziest circumstances, whereas external happiness, it has no carrying power. It's just a really cool experience. I love to be happy. Do we like to be happy? Can we say this as a church? Can we be more happy? Can we just dance a little bit more? My wife's saying, amen. Josh, come dance with me a little bit more. Lord, help me get into dancing a little bit more. We just need that. We need that. So we're going to keep wrestling this out. What is the opposite? What is the opposite? What's the opposite of righteousness? Evil. Great. Sin. Great. Wickedness. Defined by the Bible. Sorry? Condemnation. Separation from God. Folly. Unrighteousness. Guess that's what it says, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though we're right with God, sometimes we do unrighteousness. Agreed? Yeah. Agreed. So just because you're right with God doesn't mean that you're right with God. In one sense, you're right with God in the eternal sense. But on a day-to-day basis, we wrestle. We wrestle with unrighteousness. Okay? Good. I think I had all the same words. Bad, evil, unaligned, unrighteous, wrong, false, lies, darkness. Okay. Peace. What's the opposite of peace? Chaos. Turmoil. Conflict. Judgment. Fear. If peace means togetherness, oneness, unity, division, separation, unsettled. Isn't that the definition of chaos, though? Like when things aren't working together. It's all the same concept. We're going to illustrate that in a second. Good. I put scattered, hectic, stressful, not working out, not coming together, separation, loneliness, singleness. Yeah. If peace means togetherness, what's joy? The opposite of joy. Worry. Sorrow, as somebody said. Good, good. Despair. Oof, yeah. That's a real one. Sadness, depression. Okay, we're sitting here evaluating whether we are in the kingdom of heaven or we're not. I mean, you guys just wrestled it out. Here's one last thing we have to wrestle out to actually solidify whether we're walking in the Holy Spirit and in the kingdom of heaven with the Lord. because we just saw all of what righteousness, peace, and joy are. I believe we have accurate definitions. And then we saw the opposite. Like, man, I felt some of those opposites a lot in my life. I've felt those things. I've seen those things. I've been a part of those things that are the opposite. Okay, so what are, the last thing I want to wrestle out is like, what are counterfeits? Fake righteousness. What is a counterfeit righteousness? If the devil disguises himself as an angel of light and tries to convince us to walk outside of the kingdom of heaven, he's going to produce counterfeits. Tell me about a counterfeit righteousness. Pride. Self-righteousness. That's good. That's good. False humility. Oof. Lord have mercy. Good. Any others? Arrogance. Okay. Good, good. Yeah, deceived rightness. Like when you think you're right, you really think you're right, and you're not. Or there's a lot of people out there right now, especially in the political realm, fighting for righteousness. We want justice. Are you, though? Are you fighting with God's for God's righteousness? For God's justice, right? Because the devil's going to make us feel like we're fighting for justice and righteousness. You better know you're aligned with the word of God and with truth. What's an alternative peace? Counterfeit peace. Tell me about counterfeit peace. So, what? Complacency. Ooh. Whoa, complacency. Money. Success. Comfort. People pleasing. Oh, guys, we're getting deep now. We can all just have an altar call right now. That's all right. But isn't that, as we wrestle this out and we contemplate these realities, the devil's trying to sell us a counterfeit. The devil's not trying to do anything new. He's just trying to mimic what is the kingdom of heaven and sell you something that produces death. Because if you go after those alternate pieces, or if you make those the end goal, not that you can't have success or money or the things, but when those are the generator of your peace, you are screwed. But when Christ is the generator of your peace, I can have success or failure. Paul says, I've learned in both environments to just be content, and I'm the happiest dude on earth because it's not about those things. They don't control me. They're not my Lord. They're not my king. Jesus is king, and he's the only thing that's unshakable. And so you can't touch my peace. A lot of the things can shake your peace. Give me a counterfeit joy. Drugs. Oh, that's a good one. For Colorado, that's a good one. I wrestle with a lot of people. Hey, we laugh, but it's true. Like, my heart breaks for people. Like, they just need a little bit of happiness. And some of you know how dark maybe your life has been or some other people's lives that you've met. Like, I've met some of the darkest lives, and I hurt because they didn't choose it for themselves. They were born into this environment. It's so dark. And marijuana or cocaine is like the only moment of release they've ever had. It's the only moment of ecstasy. It's the only moment of like, maybe I'm free or can be out of this darkness. So it's rooted in a desire for the kingdom of heaven. It's just that the devil sold the wrong agenda, the wrong vehicle to get there. Like, my compassion is there, but it's true. Drugs is a great one. Tell me some more. What's count? Video games. Ooh, come on. Watch out. We shouldn't have said that one in this room. That's too convicting. Whoa, video games. Counterfeit joy. Substance, alcohol, promiscuity, any form of escape. Social media, temporary pleasure, food, vacations, careers. Whoa, now we're getting too deep. We should calm down a little bit here. I wanna illustrate this. I need some volunteers. It's gonna be a simple, quick illustration. I am a little bit youth pastor-y at heart, so we're just gonna stir up the room a little bit. Will you help me, babe? Oh, thank you, baby. We need the first volunteer. The wife always has to like volunteer as tribute, right? As everybody, I need three. Okay, two more. Yes, and the family, husband and wife. This is going to be so good. This is going to be awesome. Okay, do I have a... Oh, good. I've got energy on the keys. Okay, you guys stand up here.
All right, you guys are going to stand in a line. We're just going to, we got to see this visually, and we're going to hear it. Let's stand in a line behind each other. This is going to be more funny if we do it this way. And we need some joy. All right, you guys are in a line. All right, so this is the definition of righteousness. You are aligned with God and man. The kingdom of heaven, you're lined up. Okay, so I'm going to go over here on the piano. And then when we're trying to produce this harmony, we're trying to produce this worship to God, right? This is our whole, like, defining reality of our life is we just want to worship God, bring him pleasure. And in verse 18, we just read, this is how you please God and stay right with man. The kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy is how you please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And my whole motive of my life is to enjoy God and please him. That's the end goal. That's the end goal. And if I can find that, it can be awesome and it can be harmonious. So righteousness is like when we are rightly aligned with God, right? So if you guys know anything about music, you have like a chord in music and there's notes that rightly align with each other. Ready? Ah, that's nice, right? So you guys are all lined up in this beautiful, you're in one accord. Ah, this is nice. Jesus says, this is good. This, you are aligned with me. Your will, your emotions, your actions, your thoughts, your intentions, they're aligned with me and my word. This is pleasing. It's simple. It's nice, all right? So what happens? Laura, you step to the side just a little bit. I'll use Laura as the, uh-oh, now we're in unrighteousness because I believed a lie of the devil. Oh, oh. Oh. All of a sudden, because I wanted to obey my own selfish pleasures, or because I started to believe the lie of the devil that righteousness was something other than Christ, or peace was something other than Christ, or joy was something other than what I can find through the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden there's discord. We're out of alignment. But Christ says, if you will just confess your sins really quick, because this is the definition of one who's in Christ, not one who doesn't make mistakes, but a righteous man falls seven times and he gets back up. He just says, oh, Father, I thought that was you, but I was mistaken. I'm coming back. And so I get back into alignment. Get back. Oh. And God says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and I'm just to forgive you your sins and to bring you back into this harmony with me. And so righteousness is alignment. And then peace is togetherness, right? Oh, so this is going to get really fun. Here we go. Togetherness is not just that we're aligned with God and aligned with others, but we've got to do it together. So whereas music, you have a sound, right? You have a vibration, but then you have to put together a melody line, right? So you've got, I'm trying my best. This is all I got, all right? So now, Laura, do a little bounce like this. There we go. And second bounce and third bounce. Okay, here we go. When I play the, right? Ding. Yes, now we're in peace. We're in peace, we're in unity, we are together, and we're producing music. All right, Neil, you don't bounce when we do this next one. Ready? Here we go, ready? Oh no, now we're out of peace, because we're not together in the flow. All of a sudden, Neil forgot to forgive the person who hurt him. All of a sudden, he had an open wound, and it started to get infected because he didn't take it to the Holy Spirit and ask for that mercy and healing and for the ability and power. Who knows? You do not have the ability and power to forgive and to heal without the Holy Spirit. You're going to try to do it by yourself, but without Christ's power, good luck. Without Christ's power overcoming your addiction, good luck. Without Holy Spirit's power overcoming that hurt and that pain, good luck. That's why he says it's in the Holy Spirit. And so Neil has this realm, and all of a sudden, he's out of peace. Like, we're all in a line with God. We have Christ's righteousness, but we're not working together. We're not empowering the place around us with the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ said, I'm coming to undo the works of the devil, and I'm coming to be a peacemaker, and sometimes it takes a sword. I've got to fight against evil because I hate evil. Even Paul says, I abhor evil. The man who fears the Lord hates evil. So what actions am I doing? Let's do again. Ding, ding, ding. Ah, yes, we're back in line. We're back in line. Ooh, yes. And all of a sudden, we have a melody, and the Lord produces a sweet joy through that, right? It sounds good. It produces joy. And outside of, you guys can go, can we give a round of applause? You guys are awesome. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Neil. outside of righteousness, peace, and joy, there is some ugly music that Christians are producing. It's really true. Like, we think we're satisfying God, but this is what the church sounds like. And God's like, you're not in alignment with me. You're not working together. There's no harmony. There's no melody. There's no pattern. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. This is tormentuous. All of you are tormented with my music right now. All right? It's like when you play a scale and it's like, oh, Josh, please touch that last one. You got to finish the scale. Like, yay, thank you, Lord. It's complete. It's together. It's beautiful. But when it's in discord and when it's not flowing and when it's not in harmony and when it's not in syncopation with the Holy Spirit, we're not producing anything beautiful and pleasing to the Lord, and we're not going to be attracting men to Jesus Christ. And that's our goal, is to undo anything the devil has stolen, anything the devil has deceived, anything he's manipulated the world with. We are on mission. And so as much as this is an inner reality, righteousness, peace, and joy comes from my intimate relationship with God through his word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's also an activation. Am I fighting for righteousness in the world around me? God's righteousness. Am I fighting for peace in the world around me? And it's going to take forgiveness, and it's going to take selfless sacrifice, and it's going to take turning the other cheek, and it's going to take going the extra mile. That's what Jesus preached on again and again. If somebody tells you to take up this cross and carry it, or take this thing, well, and they ask you for your cloak, then give them two. I mean, Jesus is teaching the kingdom of heaven how we're going to produce righteousness, peace, togetherness, and joy through the Holy Spirit. It's going to sound amazing. It's going to be a melody and a harmony that pleases God. And it's not just a song. It's a way we live our lives. It's a conviction that starts as a resolution that I know who Christ is, and I know what he's done for me, and I know what he's purchased for me, and I know who he is in me. Paul says, it's not even I who live anymore, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me. Man, that's an extreme, extreme conviction that it's not even you who lives anymore. My whole goal is to stay right with God, not in my own power, but through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stay right with God. And when I step out of alignment, oh, God, forgive me. I'm coming back. And not to stay in remorse and like when you sin, stay in this place of sorrow and shame and, oh God, I've sinned and Lord, please. And then, I mean, you can stay in that environment. Like, God wants us to be in an environment where when we step out just a second, ooh, the harmony's off here. Like, I'm sorry, Lord, I claim the blood of Jesus Christ and I come right back in relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that you just received me right back here. I'm coming. I stepped out of line for a second, but I'm back in line with you. He's like, all right, come on, let's keep going. The Father, he's not shaming us. We read John 3:16 and we forget to read John 3:17. Lauren preached it last week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. I did not come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free. I've come to give life and give it more abundantly. When Holy Spirit is Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty. When you don't yield to sin because sin's no longer your master, and these other things that promise peace and righteousness and joy are not your king, they're not your allegiance, but Jesus is, there's a freedom. And we walk with each other and we experience joy. We need joy. The world needs to see joy. The New Testament says we're actually supposed to provoke the Jews to jealousy because we walk with their Messiah. That's a weird concept. Like, we're supposed to provoke people to jealousy? Yeah, because we have so much joy and so much of Christ's righteousness in us that compels our convictions that we know who we are in Christ, so the devil can't touch us and nobody can change it. We're supposed to provoke people to jealousy because we have such a sweet relationship with the Holy Spirit, and they're seeing God's power in our life. They're seeing God's power in our life. And so I just have a simple, I mean, that's it. That's the message. Let me look at these notes because I want to leave you with just a simple way we can practice this. Let me read a couple of these small sentences I wrote. This is all a true product of relationship with God and his people through his Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is a cultural environment more than something you can taste, touch, see, smell, or feel. It's an environment that starts in the heart and in conviction and in resolution and has tangible external benefits. If righteousness is purely up to you and your external conduct, if peace is purely up to you and your external circumstances, if joy is purely dependent on how you feel, then you're always going to be in a constant state of burnout, anxiety, and depression. So what's the plan? I just have really practical steps. We sang the songs as kids. If you went to Sunday school as a little kid, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Does anybody sing that song when they were a kid in their Sunday school? All right. Us weird Baptists, that's all right. The Lord has great mercy on our songwriting. Number one, read or listen to your Bible conversationally. Like, be intimate with Jesus. Be intimate with Holy Spirit through his word. If this is not your standard for life, you're going to find yourself derailed somewhere at some point. God gave us his word, and he gives us his Holy Spirit for intimacy with him in his word. Because you can memorize this book like the Pharisees did and end up at the darkest part of hell. It's intimacy through the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit, teach me what this means, Lord. Okay, I'm reading this. Tell me about it. Like, reveal my heart where I'm wrong in this. Oh, God, I didn't realize that you said this about me. Oh, man, I want to be like David. Lord, can you make me like David in this psalm? Like, I want to hunger for you like the deer that pants for water at the brook. Like, I want that, Lord. Like, I am communing with the Lord while I'm reading the word. Dig your heart into the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Some of you guys who are like hip-hop fiends, that's your vibe. There's this cool app out there called Streetlights. They've recorded the whole Bible to hip-hop beats. The whole Bible, word for word. I think it's like the New King James or the New Living Translation to hip-hop. So you can say, yeah, the Lord walks with me. Like, if that's what you need, grab Streetlights app. There is so much. Like, God has released. There is not going to be one excuse. Listen to this. The king is coming. Jesus is coming. The judge of the earth is coming. We will stand before God and be judged. We will, as Christians, for our actions, not for our sin. Christ has eliminated sin, but for every way that we lived or didn't live in Christ and how we lived with the intentions of our hearts, he's going to judge our hearts and our motives and how we stewarded what he gave us. Right? We're going to stand before God. And there is no excuse. I mean, there's like a billion Bible apps out there. If you watched the Super Bowl, there was a Catholic commercial for I haven't even looked it up, Hallow app or something. It's like pray more. Just pray more. Like, it's on the Super Bowl. It's like God's coming through the Super Bowl commercial. Like, pray more. Be with me more. I'll show up at your Super Bowls. Like, anything, whatever it takes. Like, there's no excuse. There's tools out there. There's apps out there. Like, spend time with God in his word and make sure it's intimacy through the Holy Spirit. Do not memorize God's word and miss Jesus. That's the saddest thing I can imagine, is the people in Matthew chapter 7 who stand before God and they say, Lord, Lord, weren't we doing all these things for you? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You had no intimacy with me, you had no relationship. It wasn't about your love for me, it was about what you could do. You were actually more excited about your accomplishments and your success. It wasn't about intimacy with me. It wasn't through my power. There was no Holy Spirit on this. That's scary. So read, listen to the Bible conversationally, communion with the Holy Spirit. Number two, get back into alignment with God and with his people quickly. Righteousness. Lord, am I aligned with you in my thinking, in my understanding, in my will, in my desires, in my intentions? Is the environment of my heart aligned with you? David says, search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me into the ways of righteousness.
Lead me down the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. This is not even about me, God. I want to be right with you, and I want to please you, and I want to love you with everything I am. So check yourself. And am I right with the people around me? God, am I in alignment here? Because if I'm not in alignment here, I tell you I'm not in alignment here. There's a good test. If you're not in alignment with God's people, and I know God's people can get out of alignment really quick, and I know God's people can hurt us and be in sin, and it can sin against us, but this is what God's grace does. It's when people sins against me, when someone sins against me, it doesn't produce sin in me. That's God's righteousness. It's not that people won't hurt me. It's that I won't stay hurt and let it shake my peace and joy, because I instantly give it back to the Lord and I try to reconcile with that person as hard as I can. And God says, as much as it is up to you, make peace with everybody. As much as you can, fight for it. Before you take communion, does anybody have anything against you in 1 Corinthians? Then go and make it right with your brother first before you take communion, lest you pronounce judgment on yourself. It's a pretty intense passage if you study communion. All right, so like, let's make sure we're right with each other, that our hearts are right with each other and right with God. And we're gonna make this really practical. Number three, realize and practice your need for God and others. You are nothing without the body. This is peace, togetherness. God, am I together with you in the flow? Am I hearing from you? Am I obeying you? And am I together with my church, with brothers and sisters in Christ, with my partner, with my spouse, with my children? Are we together? And anywhere where there's a schism, anywhere where there's division, anywhere where I feel like, well, I don't really need them. I actually got this. Or I don't really need that element or that gift. Or I don't really need, or you know what? I can probably go champion this on my own. Watch out. You're out of peace. You're out of sight of peace. You can think you have peace. You're going to find yourself in a gnarly world real soon. Peace. God, I need you. And God, and people, I need you. I need you, brother and sister, to pray for me. If it's not for your prayers, the devil's going to come. The devil's going to come. He's going to attack. I need your prayers. I need your support. And you know what? This church practices peace better than any church I've ever experienced. I'm a part of a teaching team. Some of you probably don't even know who the leader is of this church or leaders of this church. That's called good leadership. Because there's a healthy body functioning in beauty and family, and we're doing it together. And all the leaders, all the elders of this church are saying, all right, your gift, your gift, your gift, your gift, your gift. Come here, let's bolster your gifts and who God made you to be so that the body can be healthier and so that you can find purpose and ambition and motive. And we can be healthy. We need each other and we need God. Don't ever lose sight of that reality. Last of all, learn to look at your situation through God's lens, staying content, grateful, and happy. I think this is the root of joy. Looking at your situation through God's lens, we got to have God's word to do that. We got to have the Holy Spirit. But then stay content and grateful and happy no matter your circumstances, because we have a lot to be thankful for. We deserve nothing. We're only the grace of God. And so if we understand that reality and we have the humility and grace to receive it, we're going to be joyful. We're going to find joy no matter our circumstances. So here's the practical admonition. Every day before I leave home, I do not leave without three things. Wallet, cell phone, keys. Done. Wallet, cell phone, keys. Do you guys do this when you step out the door? Like, all right, I'm good. I got everything. Yep, good. Right? And if I'm missing one of the things, oh, shoot. Like, I'm nothing without my keys, and I'm nothing without my wallet. I'm nothing without my cell phone. Like, if one of those pieces are missing, like, the day is gone. The day is gone, right? So before you leave every day, righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Lord, am I right with you? Am I right with my wife? Am I right with my children? Am I right with my brothers in Christ? Okay. Peace, am I together? Do I believe I need people? I should probably call somebody and ask for prayer right now because I need them. I need to need them. And God, I need your help, right? I'm not leaving today without peace, knowing that you need me, I need you. We want this symbiotic relationship. We really do, God. We want to be intimate with one another. And so I need you. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Lord, give me joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. Lord, I need your presence. Without your presence, I'm not going to experience the joy. Lord, I'm going as a chaplain into some dark worlds today. I'm doing some funerals today. I'm trying to help people out of some dark places. And without your joy, I'm not going to have the strength to make it.
I'm going to need happiness. I'm going to need joy. And I need happiness in my family, because a family that doesn't have happiness on the neighborhood is probably not very attractive to the people I'm praying for to witness. I need joy in my family. Lord, you produce joy, righteousness, peace, joy. All right, Lord, I can go take on the day. I've got your presence. Holy Spirit, I'm dependent on you, and I'm dependent on the people around me. I need you. Is that easy enough, simple admonition, exhortation, that we can take this out? Lord, righteousness, peace, and joy in your Holy Spirit today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Would you give us a greater understanding and intuition of the reality of the kingdom of heaven that you paid for and that you instituted in Jesus? You are Lord over. You are the King of the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going to be okay. What can come against us? If you are for us, then what can stand against us, Lord? Would you help us walk in the reality and the conviction of righteousness, peace, and joy in every moment of life, Lord? We need your help, and Holy Spirit, we depend on you, and we want to produce this culture everywhere we go. For your name's sake and your glory, it's for Jesus' name we pray. Amen.